And this hour, Michael Tellinger will take your calls, and we'll continue chatting with him about slave species of the gods. Hey, let's take your calls with a great thinker, Michael Tellinger, as we continue talking about his work, Slave Species of the Gods. Michael, I think when you think back about what has happened on this planet in its inception, how mankind got here, it truly is remarkable. Yet none of this takes away from the belief of a intelligent designer, the creator, does it?
No, it all points towards intelligent design. Everything that I've been finding here in South Africa and Southern Africa, around the world, the astonishing age of some of these ancient sites, it all points towards very specific intelligent design. I'm talking about our species. But then we got to talk about the design of everything in creation, not just our species and some of the creatures that surround us, which may be part of a very specific intelligent design and very high level of manipulation for specific reasons of interaction and interconnectedness on this particular planet. But it actually leads to a greater realization that many more situations of intelligent design are present in not just our solar system, but certainly in our galaxy and beyond, in quantities that we can't even imagine. There's a fascinating book called Alien Interview, and I'm sure many of your listeners would be aware of it and would have read it. And some of the information in that book is really interesting and fascinating and consistent and resonates with a lot of the research that I've done, and I recommend it's available as a download on the internet. So go find it and read it. It'll certainly open up your eyes. It deals with the Roswell crash and some of the information that's come out of that.
Now, do you think the Anunnaki are just as puzzled as we are today about God and how to find him, and why we're here? Do you think they're going through those same kinds of questions?
I don't think that they're as puzzled as we are, because we've certainly been dumbed down and forced by manipulation to be ignorant and a species of amnesia. We've really been forced to do that, to become that. The Anunnaki certainly seem a lot more connected to everything in creation, but they seem to be divided into their morality, or divided by morality as to what to do and how to apply and use their knowledge for the greater good of other beings in creation, or often, as we have seen here on this planet, for the manipulation and abuse and malicious abuse of a species that is being created, or a species on a planet that's been invaded. And this is where we need to look at Star Trek and Gene Roddenberry, what he spoke about and wrote into many of the episodes about the so-called Prime Directive, and what this Prime Directive actually is. The Prime Directive in my research is just another word for prime resonance frequency, the prime resonance frequency of everything in creation, everything that comes from the source creator. And if it does not resonate in harmony with a prime resonance frequency, if it's not coherent with a prime resonance frequency, then it will eventually be consumed. It will disassociate, because you cannot exist in a resonant harmonic creation, which is everything in creation that resonates in harmony, because everything is based on harmonic sound and resonance. If you live in dissonance, if you exist in dissonance with that, if you breach the Prime Directive, as Star Trek told us, you will begin your own demise. Because you, just like cancer cells, if cancer cells are created within a healthy body, your healthy body will overcome the cancer cell and eventually will expel and kill the
and beat
cell
it, and, yeah.
And beat it. So this is all connected. It's just a beautiful story, and this is why the discoveries that I've made here in Southern Africa, the fact that we're dealing with sound and resonance and frequency as a source of energy and technology in ancient times, is all connected to our greater understanding of the laws of nature, if we can call it that. There's a whole another big discussion we can have about that. The laws of nature and our understanding of it, and the prime resonance frequency, or the prime directive. It's a beautiful story that starts to make sense.
Do you believe that the flood of Noah was set up by the Anunnaki to wipe out what was on this planet, or was it a godlike disaster?
Well, at this stage, my research points to the fact that they may not have set it up, that they just were aware of it. They had their way of protecting themselves, because there were not that many of them, of the elite Anunnaki, that could retreat to their space stations and their, you know, off-world satellites, that they could be safe in there and miss the asteroid or miss the comets that caused the flyby of a giant planet, and avoid the turbulence on that, you know, that really hit planet Earth and caused the so-called flood or the devastation. So they wrote it out. They had the knowledge and the capacity to write it out. At this stage, I don't believe that they were responsible for creating it. They just knew it was coming, and they used it as opportunistically to get rid of a species that was just growing in numbers. They couldn't control them. And right now, what's happening is not much different. Just like the destruction of humanity and, you know, during the flood came from the sky, today we get the destruction of humanity coming from the sky in the form of chemtrails.
Yeah.
So it's just a different kind of godlike act, you know, act of the gods. At the moment, it's an act of the global elite, using the industrial military complex and a few secret missions to keep poisoning and destroying humanity.
Let's go to the phones for you, Michael, in the time we've got this hour. We will go to Jordan in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, to get things going. Jordan, go ahead. You're on with Michael Tellinger.
Hi, George. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Jordan.
I wanted to ask a question in terms of spiritual essence and energy.
Okay.
If we were created by ETs, what is the spiritual essence or dimension that most people believe exists after death? And are we powered by an energy source that leaves and returns back to from whence came to after death?
All right, what about the spirit, Michael, and its involvement, even during creation by the Anunnaki?
Yes, well, every living entity, every living being, every living creature, every plant, anything in existence is filled with spirit of the Creator. This opens up another channel of discussion. Well, what is spirit? What is the spirit of the Creator? And this is where the prime resonance frequency, the prime directive, and this starts to play a very important role. So my understanding of it right now is that, yes, absolutely, everything is filled with spirit, and specifically human beings connected to spirit at a very high energetic level and very high level of consciousness. And it is that high level of consciousness that infiltrates through spirit our bodies at birth, that the global elite and the royal bloodlines have been suppressing for thousands of years. Our ability to communicate telepathically, our inherent nature to be godlike creatures, godlike beings, has been beaten out of us by those who've turned us into their slaves and their tools of manipulation. And this is why this is so painful for us and for most humans. Most people live lives of misery and confusion, not understanding why life is so difficult, why things are so hard, why we have to struggle to survive, because deep inside is the beating spirit of connected to Source, Creator, that tells us that something is wrong with this picture, but we don't understand what is wrong with this picture until we reach this point in our lives where we start to reach what many call enlightenment, and we start asking questions, and we open ourselves to answers that previously have been far-fetched to most people, and we realize that this information and the rabbit hole is a lot deeper than we realized, and we start to awaken, and our DNA kicks in, because our DNA is actually a manifestation of the creation of all things, of in our DNA, which is a manifestation of the source resonance of the Creator, starts to reawaken, and that gives us as spiritual beings and spiritual entities the capacity to reach higher thoughts and start to reawaken and realize who we truly are, that we are infinitely potential spiritual beings trapped in a physical body and trapped by the confines of this physical reality that we're in. It is a phenomenal story of awakening, the mass global awakening of billions of people, billions of spirits that have been suppressed and imprisoned on this planet.
Doesn't it tell you too, Michael, that with all the projected different species in this universe, life, that random, that this, you know, was not a fluke of nature for life to exist on all these places? I mean, one might argue if it was just us, hey, maybe something in the universe helped create this that wasn't God. But the fact that we believe that there's so much life out there, it had to have been created and developed, don't you think?
Well, this is where the difference between developed and created by advanced beings of physical form that sometimes manipulate the physical form for their own benefit, as opposed to advanced beings of higher consciousness that may not be of a physical form, that may exist in other dimensions and can create and manipulate infinitely by thought, as thought being a projection of the creative source, the creator of the source resonant frequency, and which should allow us as well as human beings to be able to manifest and create with our thoughts and words and sounds. And once again, this brings us back to the manipulation of humanity and the Tower of Babel event, where we're told that the gods looked down at humanity and realized that they were reaching high levels of consciousness, and they suddenly realized that the people could start manifesting and could manifest and create things with their thoughts and their words, and the gods said, let us go down and destroy their language, because if they can do this, they can become like us. And that has nothing to do with being able to build a very big building or a tower. It's got everything to do with realizing that the species that was created was waking up, was reaching high levels of consciousness, that they were stringing together the ability to think and speak words and combine the two forces of thought and sound and being able to manifest. And that really made the new species godlike. And this was not good for the manipulators and those who wanted to continue abusing the species and dumb them down. Once you get, this is the beautiful thing, George, is once you really come to terms with the understanding of sound, source, sound, resonance, and frequency, everything in creation is very, very easy to explain. How to cure disease, how to manifest, how to communicate your thoughts to everyone and everything instantaneously throughout the universe and throughout everything in creation, and some of the scientific discoveries, and specifically some of the breakthrough discoveries and scientific theorems posted by people like Nassim Haramein, his studies into the vacuum and the density of the vacuum, and if you apply that to resonance and the speed of sound, you realize that we're now really knocking on the door of understanding how all this fits together. Sound and resonance and the zero point field and how things just suddenly pop up into manifestation. It's a phenomenal point that we are sitting at right now, where billions of people can tap into this knowledge virtually overnight once you get these simple few ideas, I guess.
Let's go to Robin now, truck driving in New Mexico, east of the Rockies. Hello, Robin.
Hi, George.
Good to have you with us.
Hi, Michael. I got a question. In any way, you think maybe the Baltic Sea anomaly was somehow something to do with the Severians? And I have another question since I've been listening. What do you think about us being able to rethink, but we're stuck in, like for me, for instance, I'm a trucker, and I'm stuck being a trucker, but I aspire to think and do other things, but I can't because society has got me stuck in a job that I can't do anything else but my job, and it's kind of like slavery. And I'll take my hand off here.
All right, yeah. I don't go ahead, Michael. I'm not sure. Are you aware of the anomaly in the Baltic Sea?
Is that a recent? You talk about a very.
It's several years old. There's like something down there, some kind of structure.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yes, I remember. Wasn't it? Didn't James Cameron do some research on that?
He's been working on that. Our investigator, Linda Moulton Howe, has been working on it. It could be an old World War II ship, for all we know.
Yes, exactly.
Or older.
Let's put it this way. UFOs are not just flying around in the sky. They're, what are they called? Unidentified submerged objects, USOs as well.
True.
And they're probably more USOs than there are UFOs, because it's a lot easier to hide a UFO under the ocean and nobody will ever see it. You know, we don't know how to get down there. We live in a different universe up here on the surface of the planet, while there's a whole other world under the oceans, which, incidentally, just remind ourselves, the mountains of the oceans are three times, I believe, or I can't remember whether, but a lot higher than the highest mountains on the surface of the Earth. And the ocean occupies two-thirds of the planet. So there's a lot more space in the oceans than there is on the surface of the Earth. Because there you can travel up and down as well in the water. You're not just restricted to the surface of the Earth that we are on the outside. So there's a lot more going on in the oceans of our planet than we could ever possibly imagine. So we got to keep our minds open to all possibilities. And then to answer, was it Robin's second question?
Second, which sounds like he was stuck in a rut, trapped, doing what he's doing.
Exactly. And that brings me, as you know, to my favorite subject right now, because all of this research that I've been doing into origins of humankind, the ancient civilizations, discovering this phenomenal ancient technology of sound and phasers that they used, having the tools that they used in my hands, and not only having them thinking that they are tools, having the scientific evidence and the measurements that we're dealing with advanced technology, because we got several readings, dozens of readings, electronic measurements of the stone circles, of the stone tools, the sacred stones, the donut-shaped stones with the holes in them that emit incredible amounts of energy. I'm talking about supersound technology. I'm talking about hypersound. So having a real scientific understanding of this advanced technology in our hands, the point is that what do we do with all this knowledge and this information? And it's that really brought me to realizing that humanity lived without money for much longer than we've lived with money.
That's true. We'll follow up and come back with final calls in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Next hour, Lisa Gard joins us talking about her latest work, Becoming Aware. Lisa, of course, one of our hosts on Coast to Coast, and I'm going to have some fun chatting with her. When we come back with Michael Tellinger, though, we'll continue chatting about slave species of the gods, and we'll take final calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Michael Tellinger here with us. Michael, the slave species of the gods theory, of course, with the Anunnaki, they apparently, when they did leave, they went back to their planet. They had come here originally to look for gold to protect their planet's atmosphere. Were they fighting here? I believe they were, weren't they?
Are you talking about fighting other beings or fighting themselves?
Amongst themselves.
Yeah. Well, that's certainly what Zachariah Sitchin suggests, is that the Anunnaki, you know, had a misunderstanding amongst themselves, and the war of the gods was the result of it, and a lot of turmoil and turbulence occurred on this planet. I wouldn't be surprised if that wasn't just fighting between themselves. It was also actually fighting other beings from other planets and other parts of the universe that were here at that time, trying to protect their part of the world. and already at in those early days, reaching agreements and pacts with other beings that this part of the world belongs to us and that part belongs to you, and don't come and trespass in our area. We mining the gold here. Leave us alone. And then, and this is unfortunately where we get the corporate hierarchical structure and the control systems that we have today seem to be handed down to us from the Anunnaki.
If they were here 300 or 400,000 years ago, there is that possibility that they aren't even around anymore, that, they have long lived out their usefulness. They've maybe obliterated themselves. Who knows?
Yeah, it's Anunnaki are a lot more devious. And when I say devious, actually, I shouldn't say that. They're far more resilient, that's the word I'm looking for, than that. First of all, we're dealing with beings that are multidimensional beings at this stage. They're not just in a physical form. It seems that their planet Nibiru is not just here in a physical form. It has also got the ability. It's more than just a planet. It actually can. It can move through space and time. The information, the new knowledge and information about Anunnaki, their abilities, how far back they go, is phenomenal. Some of the research that I've got and some of the information suggests that the Anunnaki were among the first beings that came out of the first creation source together, and when we talk about the fallen angelics, the fallen angels, that the Anunnaki are most likely that group of beings or among those groups of beings that became the fallen angelics and started doing this rogue stuff throughout all of creation. And have been doing it for not just thousands or millions, but billions of years, and possibly even longer. And so the Anunnaki story is huge. It is a much bigger story than we can imagine.
Sure is. Let's go now to Portland, Oregon, to get things going here. Alex is with us. Welcome to the program, Alex. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, good evening. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, Alex.
So before I ask my question, I totally vibe with what you're saying, and it's something that I've kind of a belief that I've kind of had for a while, but I guess I'll play devil's advocate here. With more mainstream archaeological findings of settlements and structures from antiquity, why is it that if humanity was created as a slave race, why is it that there are so many settlements that have been found that are simply, small communities predating the agricultural revolution, say in the Middle East and the Near East, that were just near natural sources or natural resources? How come they weren't? I guess my question is, why aren't all these settlements close to areas where there is a lot of gold, or where there is evidence of mining? Was that covered up, or was it possible that there might have been enclaves of human activity outside of the sort of control and influence of the Anunnaki in antiquity?
Let me answer some of that, Michael, then I'll let you. The settlements that you're probably talking about, Alex, are not as old as the 400,000-year issues that we're talking about now. They're probably 5,000, 10,000 years old, maybe, maximum, and probably totally unrelated to the Anunnaki and to the slave species. These were probably legitimate human beings, maybe the offspring of the slaves from 400,000 years ago, who were just trying to build their own establishments on this planet. Michael, go ahead.
Yeah, I would resonate with George's answer, because also keep in mind the devastation that we had on this planet with the so-called flood, the biblical flood, or whatever you might call it. There are various researchers and scientists that provide phenomenal evidence geologically and astronomically and scientifically that there were these upheavals in the last 12 to 15,000 years that would have destroyed large parts of this planet. So the people that survived in the last 12,000 years would have, come together and lived in communities, built structures to the best of their ability, often imitating the technology that they had handed down to them by the gods of the Anunnaki, advanced technology and tools that they didn't really understand how they work, but they would often imitate and create such tools and artifacts, but they did not work. And let's just look at a simple example, like how many of us would be able to build a laser beam? We don't understand the technology of magnetrons and klystrons, the average guy on the street. So if you've been using a laser beam and you take it apart and you see how it works and then suddenly there's a calamity and you have to build another laser beam, very few people will be able to recreate a laser beam, and yet you know this is what it looks like and this is what it can do. But unfortunately, your imitation laser beam is not going to have the same effect. And this is what we see in more recent history. But that's just the recent history. The real good, juicy stuff happened, 100, 200, 300,000 years ago.
Do you think the Anunnaki probably seeded many places other than planet Earth?
There's no doubt about that. There seems to be a lot of evidence for that. Evidence. We have to assume that they did this. They didn't just do this on one planet. They are masters of manipulating reality, masters of bending time, masters of traveling through time, masters of doing all kinds of things that we're only starting to understand, dimensional manipulation and all that kind of stuff. So the Anunnaki story, as I said, is much larger than we imagined.
Okay, back to the calls we go. Joey's in Las Vegas. Hey, Joey, go ahead.
All right, thank you, Michael. Thank you, George.
Sure.
Thank you for my call. I just wanted to get your thoughts on a couple things. As far as, I'm sure you've heard of the Montauk Project.
Yes.
They're manipulating young boys to fight in a war, galactic war. Do you believe that they're still here doing this and fighting in this war that really doesn't have us anything to do with us? And also about the Georgia Guidestones, as far as they want to get the population down to 500 million, so that means they got to kill off like 6.5 billion of us on this planet to do that.
Well,
I just wanted to get.
Well, they're doing that every day. They're doing that every day with chemtrails, with fluoride in the water, with chemicals in the water, with GMO foods, with frequency manipulation, frequency emission from the cell phone towers and satellite. Humanity is under full-blown onslaught. There's a war against humanity to reduce the human population. They're trying every trick in the book. And somehow it's not working. And that's the big question we should be asking is, why are all the attempts to destroy and kill off humans are not really working? The human population is still growing. And what are we going to do about overcoming the manipulation of humanity? And what are we going to do about the continuing growing population? And the only way we can deal with this is firstly internalizing what has happened over the last few hundred thousand years, how we've been manipulated as a species, dumbed down and turned into obedient soldiers. And then what do we do with that knowledge and information? And this is where the Ubuntu philosophy of ancient African cultures, the unity within community rather than competition, breaking down the hierarchical structure of competition and authority and instilling a culture of cooperation rather than competition to create abundance amongst humanity rather than scarcity, because we live on an abundant planet and not a planet of scarcity. And those are some very simple steps that we need to take to start turning back this exploding humanity and bringing it back to a beautiful planet of harmonic resonance and abundance for all. So this is why I believe the knowledge that we've gained from the last few hundred thousand years, the work that I've done, the work that many brilliant scholars have done and shared with us, we need to take that information and put it to good use for humanity. And this is really what the Ubuntu movement and what the Ubuntu philosophy.
Oh, did we lose you, Michael? We sure did. Tom, call him back. We'll get you back. And in the waning moments here of the program, he's in South Africa. So we'll work on trying to get him back. Sounds like his phone just clicked just like that. However, I will still take some calls. and maybe I can help answer some of the questions. Tyler is in British Columbia, Canada. Hi, Tyler. How close are you to Vancouver?
About an hour and a half, 2 hours away right now.
You got to come out to my event on June 6th if you can. I'd love to meet you.
Thank you. I might have to make it out there.
Okay, great. So he's not, Michael's not with us yet, but let's go with your question and see if we can get you some answers.
Perfect. Sounds good. I just wanted to ask about alien abduction. Would we have to worry about them trying to do population control and putting diseases into a person as they're abducted? Anything along the lines of that?
That's a good question. You know, first of all, the abduction cases are, it's a phenomena that I have investigated since the, I would say 1984, 85. I started really getting interested in that. I had interviewed a fellow out of Missouri by the name of John Carpenter, who was huge into the investigations of alien phenomena. And then Bud Hopkins, of course, who is also another incredible researcher. Something's going on there. I don't know what it is. Some people say it's a hybrid program where they're literally creating a different race. And the question is, why? What do they want to do? Do they want to come back and help us? Or do they want to come back and take over this planet? With all these hybrids they've probably been harvesting over the years, I don't know. It's one or the other, to be sure. Something's happening. People who claim that they're abducted, something is happening. I think, Michael, we have you back, Michael?
Yeah, I'm back. I don't know what happened. My landline just suddenly died as we started talking about the global elite. My line died.
I wanted to get your reaction. We just had a caller that you did not hear who wanted your reaction to the alien abduction phenomenon, what you think might be going on there.
Well, there's overwhelming evidence that there are some ETs out there that are desperate for our DNA, that different timelines, different dimensions, whatever you want to call it, ETs that have caused some serious trouble in ancient times and past and different timelines, that have pretty much caused their own demise. I believe they're the victims of breaching the Prime Directive. And again, you know, people that think I'm crazy, that I keep quoting Star Trek, there's a lot more to it, and if you think about Star Trek for the last 50 years or whatever, pretty much everything we've learned from Star Trek or seen on Star Trek has either become reality or is becoming reality, right? And this is what's happening here. I think that some of the ETs that have come here and manipulated humanity and caused problems in other parts of creation are now suffering the consequences of breaching the Prime Directive, messing with the Prime Resonance Frequency, and now experiencing their own demise and trying everything they can to prevent the destruction of their species.
Your headline of your book, Slave Species of the Gods, kind of tells us that people later on have interpreted that these beings, these extraterrestrials, were the gods that I think could be in Genesis and the rest of the Bible. Is that accurate?
It is, very much so. The Bible is a phenomenal book, really. It is filled with so many levels and layers of information. You know, you've got the soap opera sitting on top. If you read the soap opera, you'll remain forever confused. The moment you look below the surface and you start decoding what the Bible actually tells you, it tells you that the humanity was created by these other advanced beings. And then if you go one layer deeper, therein have you got the deeper encoded message and the knowledge, which I believe comes from the Anunnaki and the Elohim themselves, as Michal Ledwith actually very, very eloquently describes how the Elohim are quoted in the opening phrase of the Bible. Now, because the opening phrase of the Bible, actually the original Hebrew phrase, says that the Father of the beginnings created the Elohim, the heavens and the earth. It does not say, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The original translation actually states, the Father of the beginnings created the Elohim, the heavens and the earth. And this is very important information. Once you've got that, then all the knowledge that you read and the information in the Bible changes dramatically. So there's advanced knowledge of the laws of nature, of the source of creation, the resonance fields, the sound, the light, the combination of it, the manifestation of physical form out of nothing. All of this is encoded in the Bible. But unfortunately, it is covered by this soap opera of disinformation that leads billions of people into confusion.
Let's go to Tom in Riverside, California. Squeeze in another call. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, thanks, George.
And, sure.
Mike, I'd like to ask you if crop circles, your opinion of crop circles, how it plays a role, if you think it plays what role in all this.
Crop circles,
yeah,
crop formations,
much.
Michael.
Yeah, crop circles. Again, very similar to the stone circles in southern Africa, but not quite the same. It seems that crop circles are very powerful energy devices that carry a lot of information, and they broadcast and emit either frequencies and resonance that are either good for humanity or they're bad for humanity. And there seems to be some research that has shown overwhelming evidence for the fact that they're actually different groups of beings, some malicious with malicious intent, like the guys that are spraying chemtrails on us, that are creating crop circles that support this mind control, mind numbing, human obedience to higher authority, and these crop circles that emanate and resonate those frequencies, while then there are others that are neutralizing those frequencies and actually emit resonance that awakens the human DNA, that connects the soul and the spirit to higher consciousness that we are obviously connected to, and allows us to recognize who we are and see through the deception.
Michael, of course, he's going to be on a tour starting with Joshua Tree at Contact in the Desert. Full information on his website, which is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Michael, thanks for being on the program. I'll see you in a couple weeks, okay?
Thank you very much, George. Looking forward to that.
Michael Tillinger. And we'll be back in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM with a discussion with our very own Lisa Garr with her book, Becoming Aware, How to Repattern Your Brain and Revitalize Your Life. You won't believe what she had to go through to get back into society. We'll be back.